Welcome to Thrilling Tales of Adventure. I'm Mardell. And it's time for another chapter of Black Bartlemy's Treasure by Jeffrey Farnall. Chapter 13. We set out for Deptford Pool. Penfeather drew clenched hand across his brow, and coming to the table, reached the half-emptied flagon and drank what remained of the wine thirstily, while Bim, his great body huddled in the chair, stared at the bullet hole in the shutter with starting eyes. As to me, I picked up Penfeather's fallen pistols and laid them on the table where Godby had set the lanthorn.
"Tressity," says Bim at last in a hoarse whisper. "Tressity? Oh, Cap'n, be ye sartin sure?"
"Sure,"
says Penfeather in the same hushed manner, and reaching powder and bullets from a cupboard, he began methodically to reload his pistols. "He'll be outside now, where the shadows be thickest, waiting me with Abnegation and Saul and Rory and God knoweth how many more."
"Then he aren't dead, Cap'n?"
Penfeather's black brows flickered, and his keen eyes glanced from his rent doublet about the room.
"Albeit, he was here, Joel," said he.
"Why, then, Cap'n, the dying woman curse holds, and he can't die," says Bim, clawing at his great beard.
"He was here, Joel, in this room," says Penfeather, busy with the powder horn, "man to man, knife to knife, and I missed him. Since midnight I've waited with pistols cocked and never closed eye, and yet here he was, or ever I was aware, for as I sat there, either dark by the window above the porch, which is therefore easiest to come at, I espied Mings and him staring up at the lattice of this chamber. So here creeps I, and opening the door, saw him move against the open lattice yonder. A shot no man could miss."
"Aye, Cap'n, aye."
"And I missed him, Joel. With both weapons and I within 3 yards of him, aye. I missed him with both pistols."
"Which is small wonder," says I, "for as you fired, he tripped over me, Adam."
"And why should he trip just then? At the one and only moment, Martin. Chance, says you? Why, when he came leaping on me in the black dark, should his hook meet and turn my knife from his throat? Chance again, says you? Why, when he flung me off and made for the window, why must I catch my foot against that staff of yours and bring up against the wall with all the strength and breath knocked out of me, and no chance for one thrust as he clambered through the lattice?
By the Lord, Martin, here's more than chance, says I."
"Aye, by cock," muttered Joel, shaking his head, "'tis witched he be. You'll mind what I told you, Cap'n. The poor lady has died raving mad aboard the Delight. How she died cursing him with life, and him standing by a polishing of that hook of his. Oh, Cap'n, I'll never forget the work of that same hook. Many's the time Bartlemy's prisoners, men and women, aboard that cursed lady's Delight. By cock, I dream on it sometimes and wake all of a sweat."
"Here's no time for dreams," says Penfeather, ramming home the charge of his second pistol. "Is the passage clear?"
"Save for the manner of a few kegs, Cap'n, but we'll serve.
We'll start in half an hour, Joel.
The three of you, Cap'n? Aye, we must be aboard as soon as may be now."
"Cap'n," says Godby, "speaking as a master gunner, a mariner, and a peddler, I'm bold to say is there's not like a bite and sup to hasten a man for a journey or aught beside, flog me else, and there's not more heartening than ham or neat's tongue or brisket of beef, the which I chanced to spy out of the kitchen."
"Why then, Master Gunner," says Penfeather, "go you and engage those same in close action, and I'll join ye as soon as I have shifted these rags of mine."
"Adam," says I, unstrapping my wallet, as Bim and Godby descended the stair,
If we are to have our throats cut tonight, 'twere as well I handed back your chart first. And I laid it on the table.
Well, 'tis safe, as with you, comrade, but as you will, says he, slipping the chain about his neck. As for any throat-slitting, Martin, you'll find that with danger my inborn caution groweth to timidity.
Ah, yes, I nodded, such timidity as walks under the very noses of desperate, well-armed rogues of a moonlit night.
Why, the moon is down, or nearly so, Martin, and then, besides, this trim little inn hath divers exits discreetly non-apparent. 'Twas a monastery once, I've heard.
And now a smuggling ken, it seems, Adam.
Even so, comrade, and no place better suited.
And there's the boatswain hailing, says he, as a hoarse roar of
supper, oh, reached us.
Go down, Martin, I stay, but to make things shipshape. And he nodded towards the books and papers that littered the table. Upon the stairs I met Godby, who brought me to a kitchen, very spacious and lofty, paved with great flagstones and with groined arches supporting the roof. And what with this and the wide fireplace, flanked with fluted columns and enriched by carvings, I did not doubt that here had once stood a noble abbey or the like.
"Pal," said Godby as I stared about me, "you'd never guess as there be nigh 300 kegs stowed hereabouts, besides bales and the like, choke me else. Many is the good cargo I've helped Joe and the lads to run, eh, Joel?"
"So you're a smuggler, Godby," says I.
"Cock," says Bim reproachfully, and setting a goodly cheese on the table with a bang.
"Say, free trader, cock. T'other'n's a cacklin' word, and I don't like cackle."
"Aye," nodded Godby, "what's the word? Free trader, Martin. So I am, and what then? 'Twas summat of the sort has got me suspicioned by Gregory and his catchpoles, Rodham."
But here Adam entered, very soberly dressed in sad-colored clothes, and we sat down to sup forthwith.
"Do we sail soon, Cap'n?" questioned Godby in a while.
"I hope to be clear of the downs a few days hence," says Adam.
"And you so short-handed, Cap'n," quoth Bim.
"Sir Rupert hath listed 30 new men, I hear, and rogues every one, I'll be sworn."
"Sir Rupert," says I,
"my lady's cousin, Martin, and captain of the expedition.
Is he a sailor, Adam?"
"No, Martin, most alike are your fine gentleman adventurers. He knows no more of navigation than this cheese."
"Which is just as well, Martin, aye, mighty well."
"How so?"
"Who shall say, Martin, who shall say?"
And here he took a long draught of ale.
In a while, our meal being ended, Penfeather rose. "As to arms, Martin, hae ye aught beside your knife?"
"My staff and this pistol," says I, taking out the silver-mounted weapon my Lady Brandon had thrust upon me.
"Is loaded, Martin?"
I examined charge and priming and nodded.
"Good," says Adam. "Here's 5 shot betwixt us. That should suffice. Up with the trap, Joe, and we'll out."
Hereupon Bim lighted his lanthorn, and putting aside the great settle by the hearth, stooped and raised one of the flagstones, discovering a flight of worn stone steps, down which we followed him, and so into the great cellar, or vaulted crypt, where stood row upon row of barrels and casks, piled very orderly to the stone roof. Along the narrow way between strode Bim, and halting suddenly, stooped and lifted another flagstone, with more steps below, down which we followed him into a passageway fairly paved, whence divers other passages opened right and left. And when we had gone some distance, Adam halted.
"Best bring the light no further, Joe," says he, "and hark ye, Joel, as to this black rogue, this..."
"You know whom I mean, Joe."
"Aye, him, Cap'n."
"That same, Joe. Well, keep an eye lifting, and if you find out aught worth the telling, let one of your lads ride post to Deptford, Joe."
"Aye, Cap'n, aboard ship."
"Aboard ship."
"Cap'n," quoth he, clasping Adam's hand, "I'm a man of few words, and thanks to you, I'm snug enough here with my wife and daughter as is away till this cargo's run, but say the word, and I'll sail along of you, come battle, murder, or shipwreck.
Or a hook, Joel, says Penfeather softly, whereat Joel clawed at his beard and blinked into the lanthorn. Finally he gives a great tug to his beard and nods.
"Ay, Cap'n," says he, "for you even that, by cock."
"Good lad," says Penfeather, clapping him on brawny shoulder. "Bide where you are, Joe, and fortune with you and yours. This way, Martin." So having taken our leave of Bim, Godby and I followed Adam along the passage, guided by the bosun's lanthorn until, turning a sudden sharp corner, we plunged into pitchy gloom, wherein I groped my way until Penfeather's voice stayed me.
"Easy, all," says he softly. "Have your pistols ready, and heed how you come."
Creeping cautiously, I found myself amid leaves that yielded before me, and stepping through this natural screen, I stumbled into a bush and presently found myself standing in a small copse, dim lighted by a waning moon, and never a sound to be heard, save the soft whisper of leaves about us, and the faint, far cry of some night bird.
"Ah," says Adam at last, gazing away to the sinking moon, "so our journey begins, and from the look of things, Martin, from the look of things, here's going to be need of all your resolution, and all my caution, ere we can see the end. Come."
Join me here next week for the next chapter of Black Bartlemy's Treasure on Thrilling Tales of Adventure.